Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care. You can find out more about them online at piedmontmedicalcenter.com. Very pleased to have with us from the hallowed institution across the street from Winthrop University, the Commander-in-Chief, the President of Winthrop University, Dr. Edward Cerna. You like that, Commander-in-Chief?
I like that. Thank you, Manning. Great to be back on the air with you.
He says, well, I don't want to hear. Actually, this is his second time he's been here.
That's true.
And I'm very thankful you decided to come back.
Well, you scared me a little bit. I think you caught me my first week on the job.
I did.
I think my eyes were probably about yay big, right?
Well, we need to reintroduce you to those who missed your first show. Tell everybody a little bit about your background.
Sure. My name is Edward Cerna. I am a proud 2002 Winthrop graduate. Worked in industry, business and industry for about 10 years after I graduated, decided to go into higher education. Had the opportunity to work in Arkansas and Maine, but when the opportunity to come back to Winthrop and be the president came up, it was just too good to pass up. And glad to be back here. Glad to be back on campus in Rock Hill with my family, and they absolutely love it.
Good. Now, your family, obviously you got a wife, and you got two children, two daughters?
I have two daughters, Manning. One who just turned 13. We have good days and bad days.
Can't imagine what you're talking about.
Got it.
Good for you.
Yeah.
So, you have, let's face it, Winthrop University has been here, what now, 130 years, 135 years?
1886. So, yeah.
Long time. And it's pretty much in a rebuilding mode right now. Is that fair?
I think that's fair to say.
I mean, COVID really turned everything upside down. It introduced everybody to this wonderful thing called virtual learning, which they determined later doesn't do the job. But it also forced students to leave campuses like Winthrop and try to do this from home.
It was a challenge. And I'll tell you, I have these Ask Me Anything sessions with students every month. And I met with a group of students last month, and they were talking about how they felt that COVID impacted a school like Winthrop even more. Because Winthrop is about a sense of community and about being engaged in small classes with your colleagues and with professors, and they lost that. So what I was really hearing, though, is that, you know, this year that feels like the old Winthrop. It feels like they're back engaged in the community. They're really excited to be back on campus. Student activities are gearing back up. The campus, I hope you're starting to see the differences on campus. We're spending a lot of money on campus beautification. It is looking like the Winthrop that we're all proud of.
In fact, my wife and I and our little dog, Maggie, we walked the Winthrop campus probably at least weekly, if not twice a week, and it's very noticeable. I love when you go down, I think it's called Scholars Walk, you've put in some nice little swings, and you have some tables and chairs, and it's getting a kind of a cozy feel over there.
Well, I think that's going to be intentional. Like, what we're looking for is having more outside space for students to gather, and we're hoping to actually have some outdoor learning spaces so our students can enjoy that great South Carolina weather outside and just be part of the environment. I think that's just a great feel for us.
So the reason I asked Dr. Cerna to come on here today was I had gone to the Council of Governments annual gathering down there at the Chester County Gateway. And he was one of five college presidents. I think there were five there. And he happened to be the last guy in line. And right in the middle of the line was good old Dr. Lester McCorn from Clinton College. And as he said, you know, you shouldn't give a microphone to an ordained Baptist minister because he really did a good job. But he kind of sucked all the air out of the room, and the time was short, and you didn't get a whole lot of opportunity to do what you wanted to do. So I wanted to give you that opportunity because, as I gather from the short few remarks that you were making, and the other college presidents, you all are doing a wholesale reevaluation of what you do and how you do it, because the students of today and their parents want a more direct career path for the for the investment they're making in a college education.
Manny, I think you hit it spot on. You know, especially this conversation around COVID. The higher education market shifted during COVID, and we're all kind of scrambling to readjust to this new normal that we're dealing with. So some scary statistics for you. Last year, 1.3 million students decided not to go to college, just opted out of college altogether because there's this national narrative questioning the value of a college education. And sure enough, we looked at our numbers at Winthrop University, and we admitted 587 students that didn't come to Winthrop. Now, in previous years, they would have chosen another school, and that's fine. But they chose not to go anywhere. So we had 587 students that only did not come to Winthrop. They didn't go to college at all. And that scares me for a number of reasons. And one of the biggest reasons is over the last 7 months that I've been back here in Rock Hill, I mean, we have a vibrant economic engine here. But as I go out and I speak to employers, I'm hearing the same thing. We want more Winthrop graduates. So we are that talent pipeline for them to provide them with a skilled workforce. And what I'm seeing now is that we have fewer students entering that workforce or entering that pipeline to the workforce because they don't see the value in it. So we have to get out and tell a better story about why a college education is so important.
So how do you go, I mean, how do you first go about that? Is it you're going to the business community and say, okay, what specifically is it that we need to be doing at Winthrop to be more in sync with what you're doing where you're doing business?
Sure. So I think that's a big part of it. We need to get off our campus. We need to be out talking to business leaders about what their needs are. I think the second piece of this is really looking at the data. So we're bringing in a national firm that does this for a living. This is what they do. They're going to look at big data around what are students interested in? Where are they seeing the Google searches and all these other data sources they use? Two, employability. Is this actually a career for a student, this major part of our academic portfolio? And the third thing we're going to look at is competitive intensity. Do we want to come out with a new major or a new academic program if the market's already saturated? So we're looking at our complete and entire academic portfolio, top to bottom, and looking at it from the perspective of, do students want it, and do employers want the graduates?
That's a big job. I mean,
it's
that's not
huge.
Something you're going to snap your fingers and have happen overnight.
No. But thankfully, like I said, this firm does this, and they can really help navigate us through that work. So we're really excited about that. And not only can we look at our current academic portfolio, but to your point, we can look at majors that we know are in demand or might be in demand. Maybe they're an emerging need, and we can start positioning ourselves to be prepared for those.
Well, I know for sure that there's a tremendous demand for people who understand high tech and computers. I don't care where you go. That's the way the world operates. You already have that over there. But this data may tell you that, okay, you've got A, B, and C, but we need D, E, F, and G. Is that?
I think that's fair. You know, and I think you hit a big one. I'm just looking at the market here in Rock Hill and looking at the market in Charlotte. We have a computer science program. We have a cybersecurity program. Maybe we need to move into AI, artificial intelligence and machine learning. We know that's where the market's going, and we have those programs. We just don't talk about them enough. We don't invest in them enough, and I think this will help us to make those decisions on where we want to invest.
I had an interesting item on Palmetto Mornings this morning that, quite frankly, surprised me, that South Carolina is in, like, the top five of students who are taking the national exam to be certified to be nurses once they come out of their school. And we know there's a hue and cry for nurses everywhere in the country. Is that something that you'll be focusing on?
So we're absolutely looking at that. One of our largest majors is biology. But not every biology graduate is going to go on to medical school. So what do we do with all these biology graduates that decide not to go into medical school? And what we're finding is that the healthcare, the hospitals really can't hire just a general biology major. But if we start looking at ways that we can partner with York Tech, maybe it's an RN program. Maybe we can do an arrangement. We'll not only have a biology bachelor's degree, but an RN or surgical tech or these other in-demand healthcare fields that a biology major would be a good fit for. So really it's about that partnership between us and York Tech to find out what the workforce needs are and how we can collaborate to make that happen.
So I always remember, you remember the name Paul Harvey. He's no longer with us. I remember hearing him speak in Atlanta This must have been 20 years ago, 25 years ago. And he got up there and he said to the thousands who were out there listening to every word, he said, your greatest competitors today will be your partners tomorrow or you won't survive. Very interesting. And when you take a look at the relationship that has grown between York Tech and Winthrop University, I mean, let's face it, you all are competitors to some degree, particularly now that South Carolina offers free tuition to the technical colleges. So you're partnering more with them, which would benefit you because when they leave York Technical College, they could come over here and do more of the same. Is that right?
You know, absolutely, that's right. And Dr. Moore over there is a great partner for us. She's been very open about looking at not only strengthening existing pathways between our schools, but actually exploring new things that we could do. It's exciting. You know, us working together is good for everybody.
But it's also got to be kind of scary, I would think, because, I mean, like, when does this report due back? Are you getting pieces of it as it unfolds?
We'll have it by the end of spring. It's scary, but, you know, we have to be data informed in the decisions that we make. We know that students want to be career ready. And listen, 90% of our graduates find jobs. I mean, they find jobs within 6 months. They're employed. But we need to make sure that we're doing everything we can to make sure that they find the best jobs that they can find.
So this data comes out, and you start seeing things that you expected, and then you're going to see things that you didn't expect. How do you go about, I don't know, massaging this thing so that you can roll out some kind of program? You bring your department heads in and say, look at this. What do you think?
I think that's it, right? We want to be completely transparent with the campus, with the data that we have. Some things are just not going to be a good fit for us, right? I'm probably not going to go before the Board of Trustees and say, I want an aerospace engineering degree. I'm probably not going to survive that.
Why not?
Well, I'm just saying that might be a bit of a jump right now. But, you know, there are other fields that will be a good fit for us. And maybe then we start having discussions with some other higher education institutions or York Tech or other people about how can we make this happen. To me, that's the exciting part, is being creative in ways that we can meet what we know is an emerging need.
So let's assume, which I think is obvious, that you're going to find some things in there that are going to be golden nuggets, make a whole lot of sense for you. Then you sit down and you take that nugget and figure out, okay, what do we have that fits already? What do we need? What's the cost of that? How are we going to attract the kind of people that we need to teach this? I mean, is that the kind of stuff you do?
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. You know, we have the building blocks. It might just be reconfiguring things, adding some classes, adding a few faculty members that have that expertise, and then launching that program. That's what's exciting to me.
But the other side, which would be kind of scary, would be maybe this report would say, you know what, this particular program you have over there makes no sense at all. Why you're investing in that report, I mean, in that particular department or those classes, makes no sense at all.
Right.
Then what do you do? Ooh.
Well, so let's look at it this way, though. Are we ever going to look at cutting an academic program that has a lot of students in it? No.
No.
It doesn't make business sense for us to do that. Now, if there's an academic program that there aren't a lot of students in, then we have to take a look at it. But then we have to ask ourselves, is this something that is core to who we are as an institution? Is this something that's core to the mission of Winthrop University? Now, maybe all of them don't rise to that, but the ones that do, we have to keep in some way. But maybe it's repackaging that and remarketing that in a different way. I came from an institution that had a history of being a faith-based institution, and they had an undergraduate religion degree, and it was dying on the vine. And they repackaged it, came up with a master's program, and it took off. But, you know, I do think it's a call to action to look at these programs. We can't continue to offer academic programs that lose money that students aren't interested in. And that's a hard conversation to have, but one that we have to have.
Yeah, that would be the definition of, what did Einstein say? Repeating the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result.
Right.
I got you. Because after all, I think people need to realize this is a business over here. And the business requires a certain number of students to come in and be part of the institution, to live here, to take the courses. And if you don't have the things that would attract them to the school, then you haven't achieved what your objectives are.
It's a hard conversation, but we can't afford to maintain programs that don't have students in them.
All right, so this is going to be pretty much your mantra for a while. I mean, something like this, I mean, gee whiz. You get this report in the spring, you digest it, but it's going to take you, I would think, years to really get your hands around all of this. And while you're doing it, the world's changing again.
Yeah. So yeah, this isn't a one and done.
No.
This is iterative. Like, this is just going to be how we operate from now on. It's not a university with a strategic plan. It's a strategic university. That's what we want to become, so that we're making these decisions every year in real time, and we're continuing to evolve as the market evolves.
So this company would be, I don't know, brought back again in 18 months or 2 years to say, hey, we're going to take another look because here's what we're seeing in the world versus what you have here now.
Absolutely. I think one of my big issues with strategic planning is we come up with a strategic plan, and then that's our course of action for 5 years. The world changes a lot in 5 years.
Yeah.
Think 5 years back.
Oh, yeah.
COVID. Yeah, none of us planned that.
So this is an ongoing challenge, really, that anybody in your position, no matter where they are, has got to be having. Maybe not at Harvard. Maybe not at Yale, because they got so many people waiting to get in those schools. But for most schools, particularly here in the Carolinas, it's an issue.
It absolutely is. Again, we have to give students what they want. Students are voting with their feet. They're consumers. And if we don't offer them academic programs or a Winthrop experience that they want, why are we here?
And then, of course, I know you've heard a lot in the past about schools that are offering duplicate programs. Why would Winthrop want to offer Program X if Clemson or South Carolina is offering that?
You know, I think you need to look at the type of institution. I think you need to look at where it's located. You know, I talked to some students last week, and he mentioned he didn't go to Clemson because he didn't want to be in a class of 300 people. And his reason for it is, I talk too much in class.
Oh, boy.
Right? Yeah. But he wants to be engaged in the class. He wants to be an active participant in the class. He didn't want to be there passively sitting in a lecture hall with 300 other students absorbing. He wanted to be engaged. And that's the kind of student we want at Winthrop.
So let me ask you a question off this topic. Winthrop has been offering more and more virtual courses. And based on all the data that came out from the public school arena, kids didn't learn too well. They kind of fell behind in their learning because they weren't face-to-face with the teachers. Does that apply to college-level students? I mean, if I was taking a class at Winthrop, would I do better in front of the teacher versus in front of the screen?
I think that's individual. Like, I know I'm not a good online learner. Like, I need to be in class with a faculty member engaged in that environment.
Right.
Others, my kids seem to thrive in it. But, you know, they've grown up with technology in a way that I didn't. I learned differently. I think it's so individual that you just have to pick what's right for you.
So you expect more of that growth at Winthrop in terms of more course offerings?
You know, I think it is, but we're looking at things like competency-based education, which is a different way of learning, a different way of earning academic credit. So instead of being, like, let's say in a 15-week semester, by the way, that is a 100-year-old concept that we still have. Now, a lot of working adults can't fit into a 15-week semester, right? Their lives fluctuate, their careers, their family obligations. But what if you can move at your own pace through those 15 weeks, and once you demonstrate mastery of a concept or a skill, then you move on to the next module, and you control the pace that you move through that. Hmm. That's something we're exploring right now, something that we might want to look at, because it just makes a lot more sense for working adults.
Interesting. All right, we got to go take our mid-program break, remind everybody that they are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, relax here with Founders, and by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Now we're going to see if he has a good memory, because right here, the magic white letters are what makes this place tick at Substation 2, where we make fresh subs and salads 6 days a week. So how do we do it? At the count of three, one, two, three.
Slice,
garden. Not bad. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Love our subs? Want to find the fastest way to get here? Just say, hey Siri, take me to Substation 2 in Rock Hill.
Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill, and it gets 4 stars on Yelp.
Even faster, order online at mysubstationii.com. Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Our common sense investing is not designed to take your life savings, roll the dice, and make you rich. We design a plan to keep the standard of living you have grown accustomed to the same throughout your retirement. be it 20, 30, or even 40 more years. Anderson Griggs Investments, 324-5044, or online at andersongriggs.com.
Stream TV from Comporium is more than just TV. It's accessing all your favorite shows and movies. From here, in there, up there somewhere, here too, we won't tell. It's restarting shows mid-show. It's TV that learns the difference between what you like and what you love. It's what you want, when you want it, where you want it. So yeah, we're more than your internet company. We're your smart TV, just got a whole lot smarter company.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
When your health needs attention, you'll find compassionate care at Piedmont Medical Center. We make it convenient to treat emergencies with online check-in and locations in Rock Hill and Fort Mill. Or if you live with a heart condition, our cardiologists provide advanced treatment options to help you live better. And for pain that slows you down, a minimally invasive surgery can help speed you on to recovery. We are your community built on care.
PiedmontMedicalCenter.com.
Founders knows you must use your best money-saving strategies to reach your full financial potential, including finding the best interest rates on your credit cards. In our current economy, you've got to make every dollar count. That's why Founders offers low balance transfer rates on all their credit cards. Get the most out of your credit card. Visit foundersfcu.com/cc to apply and save today. Terms and conditions apply. Membership qualification required. Federally insured by NCUA.
If you want to find the best subs and salads, tell Siri, take me to Substation 2 in Rock Hill.
Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill, and it gets 4 stars on Yelp.
Even faster, order online at mysubstationii.com. Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. We just had the halftime entertainment from Charlie Ruffalo.
We did.
You like his marquees outside?
I love his marquees outside. Huh?
You should have been here when Charlie was a little more brave and he put out there some nice political marquees. Those are really good. He doesn't do that anymore. By the way, Substation 2 is now open until 9 o'clock at night. They've extended 1 hour because we're just getting closer to daylight savings time. Good. So there you go. So besides all the business side of Winthrop, which I gather takes about 99.5% of your time, you got all this other stuff going on. Student life, you've got all these community activities that Winthrop historically has been involved with in the past. You have this tremendous redevelopment of Rock Hill going on right behind you. Is that a nice selling feature for students and families who come through here? Looking at Winthrop?
You cannot imagine what a great selling feature that is. I'll tell you, I come from two other institutions in two other states where the economic development, the demographics, just kind of worked. They were headwinds to the university. Here we have a tailwind. I mean, you cannot be in a better place than Rock Hill. It is so vibrant. There's so much coming in with new restaurants and just so many options. What a great selling point for us. So, yeah, I'm excited about it. I love being in different meetings downtown, just hearing about all the new stuff that's happening. We just need to talk about it more at Winthrop. I think there's still the perception that we're this sleepy little college and we're in such a vibrant community. That can't be what people think about us anymore.
Well, we all know that the toughest thing to do is to get people's attention anymore. Mm-hmm. You're so scattered with everything coming in over their phones and what have you. So as part of, I mean, when students and their parents come to campus, and I know you have the tours and all that kind of stuff, do they, or as part of your tour routine, to kind of show them this stuff, or do you at least go to part of the campus and say, look over there, look what's happening? I mean...
You know, that's a really good question. I certainly hope so. Maybe you and I can co-lead those tours down there.
I'll do
it. They're not doing it already. We need to get them down there.
I mean, you know, one of the things that's coming through comes through Winthrop campus all the time, and I see it, is the new MyRide bus system that the city of Rock Hill has.
Right.
It's not new. It's been there several years now. And I know one of the reasons, one of the beauties of it is that the students can jump on this thing and go pretty much anywhere in Rock Hill and doesn't cost them a penny, nothing. And if they're not taking advantage of that, I need to lead a class over there.
Winter. Yo, it is an amazing resource for our students. I don't know if our students take advantage of it, which is crazy to me. But I actually had a student tell me the other day that she needed to go to Target and called an Uber. So there might be, we might need a little bit of education about the resources available to our students when they're here.
Tell me, what is the latest on Burns Auditorium in terms of the redevelopment? I know it hit a lot of snags, a lawsuit, fire on the roof, all that kind of stuff. Where are you on that project?
So we were talking about that just this past week. I think we'll be able to share an announcement with the community here soon that work's going to be beginning on that. So I'm excited. I don't want to get ahead of our facilities people. They have enough on their plate right now, but I do think that we'll be hearing something really soon that we can share with the community.
Okay. And I got to ask you about these two big towers down here. The residence halls, and I don't know what their names are.
Wofford and Richardson.
Remember those names because those buildings are going to be coming down. Is that right? The buildings are going to come down?
I'm being told they are coming down this summer.
You're being told?
Well, I'll believe it when I see it, but I'm being told, Manning, they're coming down this summer.
Is there any idea as to what's going to go there in their place, if anything?
So we have a new campus master plan that we've just completed. So, you know, it's kind of a visioning exercise we went through as a campus about what the possibilities are. We're looking at a new dining hall to put a new dining facility over there, and we're also looking at possibly a new residence hall.
Okay. I know you got some dollars from the state to take these buildings down.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have enough in that pot to do any of these things you're thinking about?
No. Are you offering to write a check, Manning?
Sure. Right here. Send it on over.
Yeah. No, you know, that's something we have to look at, though. We know that students want housing options on campus. So we know that need is there, and that's just a discussion that we're going to have in the next year or so about what that's going to look like.
So you're going to need more space for the students. I know there's some options off campus, private sector options where people can go, but you're going to need more?
Yes, Manning, because we're going to attract a lot more students here.
That's good.
To Winthrop University.
See, that's what I want you to say.
I'm going to need the space.
See, that's what I want you to say. But you are actively recruiting, and I know you set certain goals and what have you, and it seems to be it's working. Whatever you're doing over there is beginning to turn the flow of students more back to where they're in the classroom at Winthrop.
Absolutely. We have a very talented admissions team led by Joseph Miller, who we both know, a good colleague of mine. The early indications are good, but we're being cautiously optimistic. We're going to watch these students and where they go. But, you know, I sense a turnaround. I sense great things ahead for us right now.
All right, 20 seconds. Last question.
Yes.
What is it you want people to know about Winthrop that they probably haven't even thought about?
Oh, my gosh. Vibrant part of the community. Come out to a basketball game. We have Longwood on Wednesday night.
Oh, yeah.
Be out there and rock the hill. It means so much to our student athletes. And the women are playing on Saturday at 2. Come on out. Let's show these folks from Virginia how we do it down here in South Carolina.
There you go. Dr. Edward Serta, thank you for your time. Appreciate all that you're doing at Winthrop. If you run out of things to do, let me know. I'll add to the list. Just easy.
Thanks, Danny.
And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union and by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. One more time, Doctor, because you did such a good job, we have fresh subs and salads 6 days a week here at Substation 2 between 10 a.m. and 9 p.m. at night, right? And the magical formula for doing this, 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Have yourself a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.